But therefore, Nanda, O Nanda Maharaj, Atmajaha, your son, I am this, te of you, Narayana Samaha, is as good as Narayana. Narayana himself showing transcendental qualities. Gunahai, by qualities. Shriya, by opulence. Kirtya, especially by his name and fame. Anupavena, and by his influence. Gopa Yashva, just raise this child. Samahitaha, with great attention and precaution. So translation. In conclusion, therefore, O Nanda Maharaj, this child of yours is as good as Narayana. In his transcendental qualities, opulence, name, fame, and influence, he is exactly like Narayana. You should all raise this child very carefully and cautiously. So you repeat, in conclusion, therefore, O Nanda Maharaj, this child of yours is as good as Narayana. In his transcendental qualities, opulence, name, fame, and influence, is exactly like Narayana. You should all raise this child very carefully and cautiously. So purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. In this verse, the word Narayana Samaha is significant. Narayana has no equal. He is Asa Mordhva. No one is equal to him, and no one is greater than him, as stated in Shastra. Yastu Narayanam Devam Brahma Rudradi Doyuvataha Samatvayanaiva Viksheta Sapashandi Bhavatruvam. One who equates Narayana even with great exalted demigods like Lord Shiva or Lord Brahma is a Bhashandi, an agnostic. No one can equal Narayana. Nonetheless, Gargamuni used the word sama, meaning equal, because he wanted to treat Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead who had become Nanda Maharaj's son. Gargamuni wanted to impress upon the mind of Nanda Maharaj, your worshipable deity Narayana is so pleased with you that he has sent you a son almost equal to him in qualifications. Therefore, you may designate your son with a similar name such as Mukunda or Madhusudana. But you must always remember that whenever you want to do something very good, there will be many hindrances. Therefore, you should raise and protect this child with great care. If you can protect this child very cautiously, as Narayana always protects you, the child will be as good as Narayana. Gargamuni also indicated that although the child was exaltedly qualified like Narayana, he would enjoy more than Narayana as Rasa Bihari, the central enjoyer of the Rasa dance. As stated in the Brahma Sanghita, Lakshmi Sahasra Shata Sambrava Sevimanam, he would be served by many gopis who would all be as good as the goddess of fortune. So, Tasmananatmajo Yam Te Narayana Samo Gunahai Sri Akirchyanu Bhavena Gopa Yashva Samahitaha. So, Om Gana Timidandasha Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshura Meditam Yena Tasmai Shigurave Namaha. So, before talking about the purport and the meaning of the verse, there's a few words here in the purport that are very, in the, sorry, the Sanskrit that are very indicative of the meaning of this verse that we can elaborate a little bit more on based upon what the acharyas have taught us. There's Nanda Atmaja. So Atmaja means someone who is born from the self, like Atmaja. Lord Brahma is born from Krishna, as it goes, Atmaja, born from Krishna. So Nanda, of course, is the name of Nanda Maharaj. But there's another way of understanding this, is that Nanda, sometimes the word Nanda is taken as Ananda by the Acharyas. Ananda, of course, means bliss, happiness, unlimited happiness, Ananda, Ananda. And Atmajo means like son, you know, someone who was born from you. It's like your child you can call Atmaja or Atmajo. Just like Leela Shakti can call Ishwara Atmaja, born from me. Anyway, so when you take these two words together, Ananda Atmaja, Atmajo, meaning your child who gives you bliss. That's actually what the Acharyas describe here. And another interesting thing is they take this word samo or samaha, meaning that Narayana is similar to you rather than you are similar to Narayana. In other words, we know that Narayana has less qualities than Krishna does. And we're going to go over that in a few seconds. So instead of saying that you are similar to Narayana, Narayana is similar to you. You understand there's a difference. There's a slight difference in understanding that. In other words, we're glorifying Narayana by saying he's similar to you instead of saying you're similar to Narayana. You follow that? So that's actually glorification of Narayana that he's similar to Krishna. Anyway, the Acharyas describe this in many different ways. So let's talk about the qualities of Narayana. That's why we have the nectar of devotion out here. Of course, there's the six qualities of Bhagawan, which basically all the different incarnations, or let's say the avatars of Krishna, expansions of Krishna have. That's like, of course, fame is the first one. Fame, of course, means someone who is known everywhere. Even the atheists, they just meditate on God. Like you have this famous atheist called Richard Dawkins. Some of you may have heard of him before. He talks about God more than I do, isn't it? Because he's so envious. It's like Kamsa. You know, Kamsa is completely, you know, conscious of Krishna. And you had all these demons like Ravana, what to speak of Shishupal, who came up with 100 prayers, negative prayers to Krishna. It was interesting. I mean, I don't think I could come up with 100 ways to criticize Krishna very quickly. Could you?
I would try.
But his actual criticisms of Krishna were transformed by the goddess of learning into praise. You know, he would say like, no one knows what Varna you are. That's true. Krishna is transcendental. Narayana Parovyakta. So it's actually, I mean, I couldn't even come up with 100 prayers to Krishna, what to speak of 100 chastisements. So you have to be pretty Krishna conscious to do that. And of course, as a result of those 100 criticisms of Krishna, he sort of lost his head literally and figuratively. So Krishna is extremely famous. Narayana is extremely famous. Everybody's heard of God, even the atheists. You know, they decry the existence of God. The next one is strength. It's like Prabhupada one time was commenting about this personality in mythology called Atlas. Anyone heard of Atlas before? You know, Atlas is just like under the earth planet, and he's just like struggling, and he doesn't get a vacation. And Prabhupada said, Krishna is not like Atlas. He is actually holding up all the planets, not even feeling how heavy they are, with an expansion of his expansion, Ananta Shesh, which is described as like all the mustard seeds in a bag of mustard seeds. I mean, who would feel strain picking up a mustard seed? I wouldn't, at least. You just go like that. I wouldn't even feel strain picking up a whole bag of mustard seeds. So Krishna is unlimitedly strong. And the next opulence, of course, is renunciation. Of course, renunciation, interesting, is not exhibited, as the acharyas say, in Krishna's Braj pastimes until he leaves Braj. But within the Braj pastimes, Krishna doesn't exhibit renunciation. Vishnu Chakravarti talks about this. But outside of Braj, the renunciation, of course, the typical example given for the renunciation of Krishna is when Krishna was called Ranchorji. He was attacked by Jarasandha so many times, and then he ran away the final time. And he took all the citizens from Dwarka and transported them through the air, from Mathura, sorry, and transported them through the air to Dwarka. And he and Balaram just like ran away. They jumped off a mountain, because the mountain was 90 miles high, described by Srila Prabhupada, after Jarasandha had set a fire around the mountain. So that's renunciation. Another aspect of Narayana or Krishna's renunciation is that he owns the whole material world, but he's not at all interested in it. You know, he's the owner, the controller of everything of the material world. Imagine if you had all the opulence in the material world, all the Lakshmis, you know, of course no Lakshmis in the material world, but all the opulence, all the cars, you know, all the Teslas in the material world, and all the Lamborghinis and the, what else? Maseratis in the material world. I mean, I couldn't imagine not enjoying them if I had all those things. And then Krishna is just not interested. He's completely, because he's optikame. He can satisfy himself. He doesn't need anything else to be satisfied. He's sarvakarana karanam. So that's renunciation. And then intelligence. I mean, just like my recent studies over the last few months of microbiology, I've seen, you know, of course I already knew, but it actually, the point was brought more and more to home, that how complex, infinitely complex one cell is, or even what's happening. The scientists can't even understand what's happening in one atom, you know, with the different quantas of the energies in the atom and the electrons that go in certain orbits around the atom, and, you know, certain quantified orbits around the atom, and then the different subparticles and subparticles and sub-subparticles and quantum theory. I mean, basically, the scientists actually say about quantum theory that if you say you know it, that means you don't know it. You know, that's anybody who's a scientist will say, I don't really understand what's going on. You know, so, and then Krishna understands what's going on. I mean, it's amazing. The infinite, and we're really talking about infinite complexity of this material world, what to speak of the spiritual world, what to speak of all the living entities and all the different types of consciousness, you know, unlimited living entities in the spiritual world, the material world, and Krishna's aware of what each and every one of them is doing. Ooh, it's just like unbelievable, Krishna's intelligence. And then the next one is his beauty, unexcelled beauty. Of course, we're going to talk about that in relationship to the qualities of Narayan versus the quality of Krishna, because Krishna has more unexcelled beauty. But Krishna attracts everyone. And it's, you may say, I'm not attracted to Krishna, but you're actually attracted to Krishna's opulences. I say, I'm not attracted to Krishna, but I like that handsome young man or that beautiful girl. But that's actually Krishna. That's just a fragmental portion of Krishna's opulences. You know, insignificant, infinitesimal, or the sunrise, just like I was walking this morning, I saw, you know, beautiful sky, blue sky, which is the color of Krishna. And it's just like coming from Krishna. So we're attracted to so many things in this world. So that means, you know, like Krishna says to Arjuna in the Gita, what is the need of all this detailed knowledge with a single fragment of my potency? I maintain all these universes. So Krishna is the source of all these things. And then finally, there's opulence or wealth. Because Krishna's unlimitedly wealthy because he owns everything. So these are the primary qualities of Bhagavan. And then as far as the qualities of Narayana, they are mentioned, Narayana and Krishna, and some of the living entities, they are mentioned actually in the Nectar of Devotion, the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. I want to read some of these because it's, anyway, because it's exciting to hear about Krishna's qualities. And also, we have some of these qualities to a certain degree, which we're going to describe in a second. Because, in other words, let's say, we're talking about, before I go through the whole list, let's talk about, you know, fame, strength, wealth, renunciation. Prabhupada said that we all have a certain degree of this. Like fame, you know, few people know us. We have a little bit of strength. When I was young, I used to arm wrestle and beat people. I can't do that too well right now. And, you know, as far as intelligence, you know, a little bit. Sometimes even Ishwara Puri defeats me at chess. So, you know, this is not unlimited. So there's some intelligence. So we all have a little bit of this opulence, a fragment, because we are Mame Vangsa Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. We are parts and parcels of Krishna. So we must, we're like a chip off the old block, as they say. Or, as Prabhupada gave the example, a drop of water in the ocean. If the ocean was all the same, let's say it was all mixed completely, the same homogeneous, then one drop would give us an understanding about what the quality of the whole ocean is. But in quantity, we're different. So we do have some of these opulences. So some of these things that are we're going to be reading, we may have to a certain degree, but not a limited degree. So here, Rupa Goswami, Prabhupada describes, after consulting various scriptures, has enumerated the transcendental qualities of the Lord as follows. And remember, these qualities, they are manifest sometimes in the living entities, and they're manifest in Narayan up to 60. There are 64 qualities listed, and up to Narayan, 60 qualities are listed, and the final four, which we're going to mention in a second, are only manifested in Krishna, in Vrindavan. So we'll read them. Actually, we don't have a lot of time, but the first one is beautiful features of the entire body. I think it's self-explanatory. Two, marked with all auspicious characteristics. Three, extremely pleasing. Four, effulgent. You know, actually, you left me off before we even started the first. Personally, I don't have any of these characteristics. Five, strong. Six, youthful. Navayovanam cha. Krishna never gets old. Like Prabhupada said, he's always looks like a fresh youth of 16 years old, even in the battle of Kurukshetra. Wonderful linguist. He speaks all the languages, even the languages of the birds and the animals. Eight, truthful. Nine, talks pleasingly. 10, fluent. 11, highly learned. 12, highly intelligent. I mean, some of these seem to be overlapping to a certain degree. 13, a genius. You know, because you're talking about highly intelligent, a genius, that's sort of overlapping. 14, artistic. 15, extremely clever. 16, expert. 17, grateful. 18, firmly determined. 19, an expert judge of time and circumstances. 20, sees and speaks on the authorities of Vedas or scriptures. Of course, whatever comes out from Krishna's mouth is, by definition, Vedic. 21, pure. 22, self-controlled. 23, steadfast. 24, forbearing. 25, forgiving. 26, grave. 27, self-satisfied. 28, possessing equilibrium. 29, magnanimous. 30, religious. 31, heroic. 32 compassionate, 33 respectful, 34 gentle, 35 liberal, 36 shy, 37 the protector of the surrendered souls, 38 happy, 39 the well-wisher of devotees, 40 controlled by love, 41 all auspicious, 42 most powerful, 43 all famous, 44 popular, 45 partial to devotees, 46 very attractive to all women, 47 all worshipable, 48 all opulent, 49 all honorable, and 50 the supreme controller. Prabhupada describes here that the Supreme Personality of Godhead has all these 50 transcendental qualities in fullness as deep as the ocean. And Prabhupada says that the parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord, that's us, can also possess all these qualities in minute quantities, which is what I stated before. Provided, here's a proviso, they become pure devotees of the Lord. Like Prabhupada said that when someone becomes a devotee, his original beauty, his or her original beauty becomes manifest. Otherwise, the statement in the Shastras is that, let me see if I remember the Sanskrit for this, that what is the Sanskrit? Anyway, I forget right now. The Sanskrit for it is that yasyasti, here it is, yasyasti bhakti bhagavacha kinchana sarvayaganas tatra samasate sara harava bhaktasya kuto mahadguna manoritenasati davato bihi. That one who has devotion for Krishna, yashasti bhakti bhagavata kinchana, sarvayaganas tatra, then one attains the qualities, samasate sura, of all the suras, or saintly persons, or demigods. And then harava bhaktasya, one who does not have devotion, kuto mahadguna, he remains on the mental platform, manoritenasati davato bihi, and he has no good qualities. He or she has no good qualities. Because the qualities that someone exhibits, let me unpack that, that are not coming from the soul, and soul's qualities only come through if one's a pure devotee, but the qualities that are manifest by someone who's not a devotee are coming from the modes of nature, the filtering of the actual soul's qualities through the three modes of nature. So what you're actually perceiving are the manifestations of the three modes of nature. You're not perceiving the person's good qualities. They're perceiving the mode of goodness, the mode of passion, of course, mode of passion, those are good qualities, but anyway, mode of ignorance. So that's why only someone who is Krishna conscious can exhibit good qualities, because that's the only time the qualities of the soul become manifest purely and fully. So that's what Prabhupada said, provided they become pure devotees of the Lord. It's interesting. And Prabhupada says, in other words, all the above transcendental qualities can be present in the devotees in minute quantity, whereas the qualities in fullness are always present in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It says, and then we'll continue skipping a paragraph. Besides the above mentioned 50 qualities, Lord Krishna possesses five more, which are sometimes partially manifested in the persons of Lord Brahma or Lord Shiva. These transcendental qualities are as follows. 51, changeless. 52, all cognizant. 53, ever fresh. 54, Satchidananda, possessing an eternal blissful body. 55, possessing all mystic perfections. And then Prabhupada continues, Krishna also possesses five other qualities which are manifest in the body of Narayan, and they are listed as follows. So that, in other words, the next qualities cannot be obtained by any jiva soul, only by Vishnu Tattva, expansions of the Lord or the Lord himself. 56, he has inconceivable potency. 57, uncountable universes generate from his body. 58, he's the original source of all incarnations. Obviously, a jiva soul can't be in that position. 59, he is the giver of salvation to the enemies he kills. And 60, he is the attractor of liberated souls. All these transcendental qualities are manifest wonderfully in the personal feature of Lord Krishna. And then Prabhupada lists the additional four qualities. He says, besides these six transcendental qualities, Krishna has four more which are not manifest even in Narayana form, in the Narayana form of Godhead. What to speak of the demigods and living entities? They are as follows. 61. He is the performer of wonderful varieties of pastimes, especially his childhood pastimes. Of course, Narayana also has pastimes, but they're not intimate pastimes. You know, his pastimes of creating the material universe, when he breathes out, all the universes come out. And also, there's pastimes of Lord Ram. You know, there's that pastimes of different expansions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Krishna's pastimes are unlimitedly sweet. Madhurya. Madhurya means sweetness. And so, especially his childhood pastimes and his youth pastimes. And these types of pastimes are not exhibited or manifest by any other form of the Lord. 62, he is surrounded by devotees endowed with wonderful love of God. So that's also in relationship to the pastimes, that these devotees have this very intimate relationship with God. They can actually act and sometimes superior to God. In other words, they can wrestle with God. You don't find anybody wrestling with Narayan or teasing him. Actually, you have that story of Gopakumar when he goes to the Vaikuntha planets and he sees Narayan. He identifies Narayan as his worshipable deity, Gopal, and he rushes towards him, and the devotees say, you know, this is not the right mood to have in relationship with Narayan. And then 63, he can attract all living entities all over the universe by playing his flute. Narayana, he has his different symbols, like the conch and the club and the lotus, like this, but he doesn't have a musical instrument. And 64, he has wonderful excellence of beauty which cannot be rivaled anywhere in the creation. Of course, the example we always use in this regard is that one time Vishnu wanted to see Krishna because he wanted to see the beauty of Krishna. And what he did is he stole a Brahmin's sons right after the Brahmin's wife gave birth to the sons. And so what happened is the Brahmin went to Krishna in Dwarka, and he said, what is this? You know, you're not being a proper, of course Krishna wasn't the king, it was Ugrasena, but you're not acting properly, you're not protecting the Brahmanas, because if one has a Vedic society in which it's like Ram Raj, the Brahmanas are protected and nobody dies prematurely and nobody gets the flu if one is actually Krishna conscious. A society. So anyway, so and you don't need flu shots either. So then the Brahmin accused basically Ugrasena and ultimately Krishna of not doing things properly, and then Arjuna, he gets very upset and he says, look, I'm Arjuna and I'm my Gandhi Babo, and if I can't protect this Brahmin's sons from being taken away, I will enter into the fire and kill myself. So he goes to the Brahmana's house, and lo and behold, the next son the Brahmana has is taken away, and Arjuna gets ready to kill himself, and Krishna says, that's not a good idea. Let's get in my chariot and go see where the son is, and they get in the chariot and go past the coverings of the material universe, and they go to see Narayan. And when they go to see Narayan, Narayan says, you know, I just made this trick to see you. So even his wonderful excellence of beauty is actually desired, or Narayan desires to see this wonderful excellence of beauty. So anyway, these are the qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Any questions or comments? Yes.
Quality
50, okay.
Supreme
50 is the supreme control. Let's go back
how
to
how is it possible for a living entity to partially have that?
Well, if he actually becomes Lord Brahma. Because Lord Brahma, you can say he's the supreme controller of this universe. But he's not the supreme controller of all the universes. And actually it's interesting that one time Prabhupada was driving with Ambarish past the Ford Motor Company, and the devotees asked, do you work here? And Prabhupada said something like, no, he's the boss, he's the controller. I forget the exact word.
Proprietor,
yeah. So in other words, you know, implicitly, he's the controller, the proprietor and controller. So he was the supreme. Obviously, he wasn't the supreme controller of Ford Motor Company. He's just inherited some money. He was on the board. But that was what Prabhupada was indicating, he's the proprietor. So one can be, to a certain limited degree, it says that, you know, these qualities can be exhibited to a limited degree even in us. So we can be the supreme controller of our homes, or, you know, I could say, well, of course, I wish it was, supreme controller of the temple. Doesn't work like that. Or the supreme controller. No, I can't even say I'm the supreme controller of my body. What am I the supreme controller of? So anyway, but Lord Brahma is definitely the supreme controller of the universe. So any other questions? Yes?
Yeah, in this era that we're in, which is not really good, I mean, like, what, you know?
It's bad.
Yeah, I mean, you have G5, you have mic, you have
Well, if we devote ourselves to Krishna, then the qualities of the soul come through that, in spite of being in Kali Yuga, these qualities can manifest. We can become compassionate. Not all the qualities of Krishna, but some of these qualities here, the qualities of the saintly persons. We can exhibit these qualities. In spite of all this difficult, kalair doshanat hai rajana sha yeko mahadguna, kirtananeva krishna sha, Mukta Sangha Parambajet, that if we take this chanting of Hare Krishna and become purified, then, like Prabhupada would sometimes say that, talk about how when the devotees, someone met the devotees, they ask, you know, are you Americans? You know, because they were effulgent, they looked different. So when we take up Krishna consciousness, we can actually transform our external, even our external manifestation, activities, and even the way we look. I mean, you can see, if someone is an advanced devotee, you can see, even if they're dressed in Western clothes, we wouldn't call them karmic clothes, you can see that they look different. They look like they're coming from a different planet, basically. And I've seen that when I travel sometimes, that, you know, sometimes I wear Western clothes, and then people look at me, are you weird? You know, because I look different. Not just because of the neck beads, not because of the tilak or the bald head. Plenty of people have bald heads nowadays. So, you know, devotee becomes his natural, Prabhupada said his or her natural beauty becomes manifest. Even beyond the external body. Okay, on that happy note, oh, look, it's the Srila Prabhupada. What? Oh, no. The mice.